And if you have your Bibles this evening, I won't try to keep you too long. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19 in your Bible, Psalms chapter 19. I've enjoyed the preaching this morning and the teaching, and it's good to see Dad back in the saddle, you might say, starting on his series as he works his way through the Bible, looking at the Bible systematically. And I know there's multiple ways to look at that or study your Bible. I believe one of the most comprehensive ways as you look at it and you begin to study the Bible is dispensations or time periods, it seems, and it works very well. It lays the Bible out chronologically, lays the Bible out correctly, and in accordance to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So it was nice to see that. Tonight, though, we're going to dealing with the Word of God, one of my favorite subjects that I like preaching about, teaching about, and I know that holds and anchors you and I in this troubling world that we live in. And I agree with Pastor. I think we've had it very soft, very easy, very blessed, and we could see troubling times ahead, and we might not. It's in God's hands. God's in control. We know that. Doesn't matter who's in administration. We do know God's eyes are open, watching and going to and fro throughout the earth to show His hand strong. And so tonight, one of those ways He does that is through His Word. And let's look at that. I have entitled this, What Does the Bible Do for Us? What does the Bible do for us? And in Psalms chapter 19, I would like to read a few verses here in this text. And then I'm going to immediately go from Psalms to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at a verse there to help solidify our text. And then we'll get into some points this evening dealing on what does the Bible do for us. In Psalms chapter 19, a very fitting place. If you notice with me in verse 7, we'll begin reading. It says, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It says, sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors or his errors? Cleanse thou me from the secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from the presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. In verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, we're pretty familiar with both of these verses or passages, but this one is fitting for where we're at and what we're going to look at this evening. And I'm going to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to look at verse number 12, if I can get there. Verse number 12, the Bible says this, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening. We thank you for your word. Father, we also thank you for an opportunity and a freedom that we enjoy presently, Father, to come out to hear your word preached and taught. Father, we want to pray for those who are maybe watching or listening from afar. Bless them and suit your word. Father, it does say that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that you suit a blessing to those that are hearing or watching through our stream or our recordings. And Father, we thank you for those that have come out tonight, have braved the weather and braved the times, the days and times that we're in. Father, be with our hearts, though. We want a blessing from you, from your word. Be with my lips, be with my heart. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In these few moments, now we ask that you be in this lesson and in your word. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here, we're dealing with what the Bible does for you and I, or what does the Bible do for us, I should say. And in Psalms chapter 19, he begins to describe it. The psalmist describes the Word of God and how it is desired more than gold, it says. And it is converter of the heart, the soul. And here, the Hebrews even alludes and backs that up. It says here that we just read, it's quick and powerful, it's alive and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It says this, even, it says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, notice this, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So there is a lot of power there dealing with this book, this Word of God, and it's able to do that. It's able to keep us aright, fixed, and straightened if we heed to it. Now, I have six simple little points tonight. I hesitated to say six because sometimes getting through 6 points is going to take more time than we have, but I promise you, we will get through this. And before we get into our first point, I am also reminded in this subject, dealing with the Word of God, is what Ephesians says in Ephesians chapter 6 about the Spirit. It says, taking the sword of Spirit, and then it says this, which is the Word of God. And I like how it defines the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. That's what you're holding this evening in your hand. Now, I understand, brethren and sisters across the world, when they say we believe in the words of God, we believe in the Scriptures, we believe in the Holy Bible. Well, today, that is better defined by which one do you mean, because there's multiple ones out there. We hold to the 1611. We believe that is preserved. God has blessed it, seemed to put His Holy Spirit marking on it and used it through the great revivals and the reformations that we read about. And so this is what we're speaking of when we say the Bible, which is the 1611. And so here, having said that by way of introduction, let's notice our first point. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a verse, and we're going to get into our first point, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice here what it will do for us, you and I. And we, those that are saved tonight, will testify to this first point. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice with me verses number 3. I'll start in verse 1, but we'll read through verse 4. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which is also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. One of the things we should be standing on is what's going to be declared here, and we do stand on that here, and many other churches do also. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved. It's also something that you and I received, salvation by grace through faith. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Does that happen? I am a sure believer there are people who believe in vain. I know it's not spoken of, and it's not a popular subject to speak of, those believing in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Our first point is, it acquaints us with the gospel of Christ. Here, the Apostle Paul was declaring to the church here at Corinth that he had delivered unto them the same thing that had been delivered to him by Jesus Christ, and it was the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you say, notice here in this, and I've used this before dealing with people, but notice verse number 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, watch this phrase, according to the Scriptures. A lot of times people will say this when you're preaching or teaching, well, that's how you believe it, or that's how you look at it. The Apostle Paul sidestepped that slight argument or excuse and said, according to the Scriptures. Remember when Jesus, and we'll look in a place here in Matthew chapter 4 here in a minute, but remember what Jesus was noted for saying, especially to the Pharisees or those that asked questions, was this, what saith the Scriptures? And He always brought you back on point, back on track to truth, and what does truth say? The problem lies with our power of having a will that we can discern right and wrong. good and bad, good and evil, you might say. And we do have that. You say, well, that's just your, no, that is your discernment. You've decided to say or believe one thing versus another. And I like how Jesus or Christ said, what saith the Scriptures? Let's conclude or leave it there. What saith the Scriptures? Here the Apostle Paul was declaring that this, as he had received it from Christ, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In verse 4, we'll break that down. In that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Watch this again. According to the Scriptures. He didn't say my gospel or me or how I feel about it or my sect of beliefs believes this. He said, this is according to Scriptures. And I'm glad for that. Why did he say that? Well, the reason why I believe he said it from Scriptures is because you and I can stand. We can stand on the Scriptures this evening. It does something for you and I, and one of those, it is acquaints us, you and I, in the world, with the gospel. And for those that have believed, it's the glorious gospel unto us that have received Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin. Now, we were in Psalms, but we were not in Psalms 119, we were in Psalms 19, but turn with me to Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, I believe. If my memory serves me right, Psalms 119, and I'm looking for verse number 2. Verse number 2, notice what it says here is our second point. It says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. You say, what are his testimonies? That is what is in your hand tonight, the testimony, the statutes, the law, the Bible, the Scriptures. That's what you're holding tonight. That's the testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Let me say this secondly. It blesses us as we obey its precepts. You're not going to enjoy the blessings of God or blessings from this book without obeying or heeding to or yielding to the Word of God or God's way or His precepts, you might say. So we say, secondly, it blesses us as we obey its precepts. Psalms 119, verse 2 was that verse. Now let's move to Matthew. Say, you're doing a lot of moving. I know, and it's fun to do that, isn't it? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll look again at how Scriptures comes back into play in this setting here in Matthew chapter 4. Now, Matthew chapter 4 should automatically click in your mind. It should begin to deal with a couple of things, the testing of the king, and you'll deal with some things going on here. One of those areas is Satan here begins to tempt Jesus Christ or God in the flesh, you might say. Notice with me in verse number 4. We'll get into this for the sake of time, not read the whole chapter. But he says here to Satan, verse 3, he says, and when the tempter, I'm in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, he says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. Let me make this by a sidebar. You're going to have a lot of different names for Satan in the Bible. Don't let that throw you for a loop. There are multiple names. One of the things that was most astounding to me studying Satanology, when you go to Bible school, there's some certain things that you study. How am I ever going to use this? Well, one of those studies was Satanology or Angelology, but Satan, I was shocked at the names that the Bible has for that sucker. And so he is here, and he's called the tempter, and we see that. He's called the tempter a couple of times. He's called that old serpent. He's called Satan, the devil, the dragon. He's called a number of things. And so here in verse 3, simply put in our text now, it's after Jesus, in verse 2, he said he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was afterward unhungered. So he was physically in a state, if you're dealing with Christ and his deity, dealing with him as humanity, here he said he was hungered. See, well, he's God in the flesh. How would he be hungered? Well, he was a man also. Notice here in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, number one, he put doubt in there. If thou be the Son of God, he knew who he was. But watch this, command that these stones be made bread. Kind of like a catch-22. If you are the Son of God, you're going to turn these stones into bread. Well, let's see what happens. Verse 4, but he answered and said, how would you answer a question when either way you answer, you're indicted or you're in trouble? or you're on slippery ground. Watch what is said here. It is written. It's very important to take somebody back to Scripture. Go to a Scripture verse, look at the Bible, and he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's a lot said there. I can get into this, but let's read on down. That's verse 4. Look at verse 7. And again, it says this. Let's read verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, that's Jerusalem, by the way, and setteth him in a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, here it is again, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. So now he begins to try to quote some scripture. You notice that Satan is not very good at quoting scripture. Notice what he did in the garden. He's kind of messed that all up. He had it backwards from what God had just stated to Adam and Eve. But here he's trying to do some of this. Now watch what Christ or Jesus says in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Notice how he takes him back to the word. What is written? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Wow. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Let me say this right here. I have dealt not a lot. There's some people here who's probably dealt with maybe an apologetic type of way, dealing with different beliefs from different people, different doctrines, different cults. And I remember dealing with a person, an individual. There were two of us on one, so it was kind of ganging up on him. But I noticed this about the gentleman. It was very civil. This gentleman, we would read a verse, and it would be very clear, just kind of like what happened here, and he would act like nothing was ever said. He'd move to another verse and say, well, here, let's look at this. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Let's acknowledge whether you believe this verse or not, because we're going to do the same thing at the next point. And so you have to be careful that God, notice what Satan just went right on. Let's go to the third one. So here's what's going on. And he saith unto him, verse 9, a lot of times people who do that, they do not want to acknowledge or make note of what Scripture says. Verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You say, what is your point here? The point is, it defeats the enemy as we use it against him. Our enemy, our adversary, you have three of them, by the way, but here in this context, we're dealing with Satan. Don't underestimate your adversary, Satan. Your other two enemies are this world, this world's association and how it works. It is run by yours truly, the God of this world, Satan. The third enemy that you will have in battle, and it will be the largest and the hardest one, is self, your flesh, if you're a Christian. If you're not saved, it won't be much of a battle. But if you are a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there is a new man and an old man, according to the Apostle Paul. That old man, that flesh, battles with you in your conscience, in your mind and heart, and a lot of times it wins. So those are the three adversaries. Here's what we're saying tonight. Your adversaries can be defeated if you use the word of God against it. Stand with what's written, what is written down, what saith the Scriptures. I like another point that we use. Ye do err not knowing the Scriptures, is what it says. So be mindful of that. A lot of times we'll err not knowing the Scriptures. Let's move on to another point. I want to move to Acts. I'm in Matthew. Now let's move to Acts. I want to look at a verse in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Notice what the Bible says here and the wording that it uses. I like it, and I did have it underlined. Acts chapter 20, and I want you to notice verse 32, and we'll read down. He's speaking of the elders here in verse 28. We'll catch it as the paragraph. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And he's speaking collectively here. He's not dealing just with one elder, but a multiple of elders he had called together. And he says, what is their job? to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's one of the jobs of the pastors, to watch out for grievous wolves, those that want to devour the flock or the house of God. Verse 30, now we're approaching our verse. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples of themselves. Watch verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, verse 32, notice something else here, what the word of God can do. And I now, brethren, I commend you to God. He gives you over, dedicates you to God. Now, watch this. He's speaking in his context to elders, but we can apply this into the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. His context is dealing primarily with the word of God. And I know his context is elders, but he's saying here to the brethren, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace. The word of his grace is dealing with something that is able to edify our lives, is able to build us up as we heed to the scriptures here. And so Peter here, I believe, was speaking here at this, and he's dealing with the elders, and he's trying to solidify them, strengthen them, and give them a foundation that the word of God, he says the word of grace here, he calls it, is given to them, and it's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's those that are saved, called of God. And so we see, fourthly, it is able to edify our lives and build us up as we heed to it. Now, there's something in the Old Testament that caught my eye in Jeremiah. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me back to the Old Testament, and we will end in the Old Testament here. I said we'd be able to get through all this. We still got some time. Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm still trying to break this newer Bible in. Jeremiah chapter 23. Notice with me the verse that I want and what is said here. There's a lot said in this book. There's a lot said in this whole Bible. But here, dealing with our context, and we're dealing with what it does, what the Bible does for you and I. And so we said it acquaints us with the gospel. It blesses us as we obey its precepts. It defeats the enemy as we use it against him. It edifies our life and builds us up as we heed it. But there's something else that it's able to do. And notice with me, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, it states this, is not my word like as a fire? And that's the question, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You say, what is it saying? It fires. It fires the heart to faithfully testify of Jesus Christ. You say, where do Christians, where do they get off having the gall or the audacity to come up to somebody and maybe witness to somebody or share their faith or their testimony with other people? Here, in this context, Jeremiah was a prophet that God had called and sent and had put words in his mouth to say to the nation of Israel. And he had said this and stated, and he had logged it, and it is not my word, it's not my word like as a fire. This very scripture that we have, these scriptures that we have, is like a fire. It will burn, as Jeremiah said, inside your bones. Because when your mind and heart wraps around what actually took place, what God has done, not only for you, but for the whole world, died on a cross, give us salvation freely, sealed us with his Holy Spirit, has a home in heaven awaiting us, and it does. You don't have multiple steps to get through to get any of that. All you simply do is receive a gift that is given to everyone, whosoever will, that believes. And here, Jeremiah is saying, when you get a hold of that, he says, God is saying here in verse 29, is not my word like as a fire? It burns inside of you. It causes your heart to melt towards things of God. And I often marvel sometimes at the hardness of our hearts when it comes to the things of God. And I know sometimes you have one of those days where not everything's going just right, you know. Not everything strikes you just fancy or just right. But you still have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you allow him to work. A lot of times we have him grieved, or he's cold, or we're just cold on God simply because we haven't prayed, or we haven't read our Bible, or we haven't come into close relationships harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, here it fires the heart to a faithful testimony of what Christ has done for you and I. And lastly, now I have been in Psalms 119. I'm going to take you back to Psalms 119. You say, man, any more? I don't think so. I don't have anything else written down unless God lays something on my heart quickly. Psalms 119. Now, we looked at verse number 2 in this chapter. I want you to notice verse 105. Verses 105. This verse, a lot of us know. But I want to say, lastly, that the Word of God guides us who follow its light. The Word of God has a light to it. It's like a light. It shineth in the darkness. And let me say this simply, light is stronger than darkness. And you say, wow, that's profound. Well, I understand this. But when you begin to think about it, light is stronger than darkness. This Word of God is light. You and I, as saved individuals, are light, or a light unto the world. That's why God left us here. You say, what are we doing here? What are we, man, this is a miserable place. Why don't God just call us home? It's because there's more darkness that needs light. And hasn't yet made it to that darkness yet, maybe. But here, this verse says this, Psalms 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we see, lastly, it guides those who follow its light. Tonight, I encourage you, as saved individuals, brothers and sisters in Christ, to follow the light of Scriptures. Follow the light of the Word of God. It will not lead you wrong. Sadly to say that man or men will and can lead you astray. And a lot of times, if Satan can get involved, he will definitely use that on even Christians, lead you astray. But tonight, hopefully it's been a blessing, six things that the Bible does for you and I. Let's all stand. And those things that the Word of God is so dear, brings into remembrance the true things. Christ even used it when he was here on earth, battling with Satan there as he tried to tempt the Lord. The Word of God is powerful. It is sharp. It is quick, and it is able to discern and to divide in between the soul and the spirit and even the joints and marrow, the Bible states. Tonight, just a word of encouragement that we do hold God's word in our hand, and no matter how rough or how gentle or how rough it might get in your life, you can always go back, go to the Word of God. Like I said, man will let you down, society will let you down, this world will let you down. Organizations will let you down. Friends will let you down. Family will let you down. But the Word of God won't ever let you down. It might speak some truth, but it won't ever let you down. Tonight, trust the Word of God.